This says Jean Hanfelt for the Salida Oral History Project. I am interviewing Charles Andrew Upp, spelled U-P-P, at his home on 748 H Street, Salida, Colorado, on March 13, 2004. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
Tell me about your parents. What were their names? Their date of birth? Were they natives of Chaffee County? Or did they migrate here? Tell me where they came from.
They were originally from Iowa and Ohio. They migrated here. Well, actually, my mother...
That's okay, Charlie.
The family came here because my grandfather had tuberculosis, and he contracted that back in Ottumwa, Iowa. But they lived in Pueblo after they got out here, and he died there at the age of 35 of the tuberculosis.
What was his name, Charlie?
Pardon?
What was your father's name?
His name was Clarence.
And your mother's?
My mother's name was Mary.
Okay. What did your mother do after your father passed away?
My grandmother remarried, and they moved from Pueblo to Salida. And she had her childhood here in Salida.
Your mother did?
Mm-hmm. Part of it. And then, after the second husband spent her grandmother's money, he took off.
Your grandfather took off, Charlie?
It wasn't my real grandfather. Her second husband.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about your grandmother and not your mother?
No, we're talking about my mother.
Okay, your father passed away at the age of 35?
No, my mother's father passed away.
Your mother's father passed away, okay. So where did your mother grow up?
Well, partly in Iowa and partly in Pueblo and partly here in Salida.
Okay. So how old was your mother when she moved to Salida?
Right. She moved here with her mother, her other siblings.
Do you remember the year?
Yeah, it would have probably been around... 1902.
When did your mother marry?
She married my father when she was about 18 years old.
Did she meet him in Salida?
No, she met him in Leadville.
In Leadville? What was she doing in Leadville?
She was playing the piano in the silent movie theater.
Was she a musician?
Pardon?
Was she a musician?
Yes.
Did she learn piano in Salida?
I'm in the dark on that. I think most of that occurred in Iowa.
Okay. And how old was your mother when she moved to Salida?
Oh, she was probably about 12 or 13. I don't know.
Uh-huh. She was just a young...
Well, you could figure it out. She was born in 1988.
Mm-hmm. 1888, okay.
See, the movies in those days, they were silent. And they either had a pianist or an organist to play while the movie showed the titles on the bottom of the screen. And this theater down here, where she did play for years, had a little combo that played in the evening during the movie. They furnished the music.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that,
Charlie. A very unusual thing.
What was the name of the theater in Salida?
It was called the Empress. It's the same thing that was Groys now.
Okay.
And before it was a theater, it was called the Opera House. It wasn't a movie theater originally.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have heard about that Opera House.
Mm-hmm.
For how many, was this piano playing that your mother did, did she do this very many years?
Yes, she played there until they put in the talking pictures. About 1927, she got let go because they didn't use them anymore.
Mm-hmm. Did they pay her, Charlie?
Pardon?
Did they pay her to play the piano?
Oh, yes, sure, she got paid. She played the matinees by herself, and then in the evening, this little combo. She was part of that. There was a piano and a drummer. And a cornet player and a violinist.
Mm-hmm.
And they played the music for the picture.
Were they all local
Yes.
people
Yes.
that played? What about was your mother single or married at the time that she played at the theater?
Oh, yes, she was married, and I was born, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw every movie that ever came to Salida because she set me down there, and she did it.
Do you recall any special movies? A special movie that stands out in your mind?
Oh yeah, there was Hoot Gibson movies and Laurel and Hardy and Wheeler and Woolsey. And trying to think of those. There was some comics. It was a lot of comics.
Uh-huh.
Then they had serious stuff. There was Greta Garbo and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. How old were you when you were attending the movies?
Oh, from the time I could sit in the seat, I'd say... from 2 years old up.
Uh-huh. That's all. Let's see. What did you have to pay to attend a movie in those days?
Evenings were 75 cents. Matinees were 35 cents.
Was the attendance good? Were the movies well attended?
Oh yeah, there were people that they saw every movie that came to town.
Mm-hmm.
That was the main entertainment, except lodges. Of course, there was a lot of work with Elks and Oddfellows and things like mm-hmm. that.
Well, that's very interesting, Charlie. Tell me about your father. What did your father do?
When my father left the farm, he took up with another man, and they sold pianos and organs off of the back of a wagon.
Oh, they did?
Mm-hmm.
Was this prior to marrying your mother, or?
Oh, yeah, that was before that.
Uh-huh. Where did they sell their pianos?
Oh, back in the farm country in Ohio and Indiana.
Uh-huh. What brought him to Salida?
Well, he moved to Denver, I guess that's what brought him to Colorado, and he worked for a piano company down there by the name of the Night Lock Piano Company, and he sold and serviced pianos. He had learned to become a tuner, and he could tune pianos, and of course, in those days, it was fashionable to own a piano. It was a status symbol.
Yes.
You had to have a piano.
Uh-huh.
So they sold them all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And when he was in Leadville, he had a store up there that the company owned, and he ran it, and that's where he met my mother.
That's where he met you. And how old was your mother when she married your father?
I'd say about 18.
And your father was how old?
Well, he was 11 years older.
11 years older. Had he ever been married before?
No, neither one of them.
Did they live in Leadville first, or?
They got married in Pueblo. We're splitting hairs now.
They were married in Pueblo,
mm-hmm.
And then they moved to Salida.
Well, they lived here. Yeah, they lived here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Charlie, tell me about did you have any brothers and sisters?
No.
You were the only child.
I'm the only one.
Okay. What is, I think one of your first childhood memories, besides going to the movie theater at the age of two?
Oh, yeah. Life up on Poncha Boulevard, there wasn't hardly any houses up there. I didn't have anybody to play with. So I learned to play by myself. And at that time, my mother gave music lessons, and I was not allowed to make noise in the house, so I stayed outside.
Did you walk to school, Charlie?
Oh yes, yes, yes. Everybody walked to school.
Did you? Where did you? You attended? Where did you attend grade school?
St. Joseph's Catholic School was located down next to the church there, corner of 5th and D. The building has since been moved up on the mesa. It belongs to some kind of a, I don't know who owns it now.
Okay, yeah, it used to be known as the Grange Hall.
The what?
The Grange Hall. Was that the building that was known as the Grange Hall?
That's the building,
that's
yes.
That's the building that sits on the mesa?
Uh-huh. Then they built the new school.
Were you taught by nuns?
Oh, yes. There was 8 grades in that school. I went till the 6th one. The nuns that did the teaching had 2 classes in each room. So the first and second grade were in one room, third and fourth in another, fifth and sixth, and then seventh and eighth. But each nun taught 2 classes in the same room. It's kind of like a one-room schoolhouse,
mm-hmm.
Only they had just 2 grades.
Were there a lot of other children that attended St. Joseph's?
Well, it wasn't a whole lot. I don't know how many. They weren't all Catholics. A few people sent their kids over there because it was real straight-laced.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you were not brought up Catholic, but you went to
the... Oh, no, I was brought up a Catholic.
You were brought up a Catholic.
Yes.
All right. What about then, after finishing... 6th grade at St. Joseph's.
Yeah, I went to Kestner Junior High.
Kestner Junior High, and high school?
Mm-hmm.
What year did you graduate from high school?
1941.
What did you do after graduation?
I went to California and got a job in an aircraft factory.
Was this during the war, Charlie?
No, the war hadn't been declared yet. But it was the same year.
How long did you work in California?
Oh, not too long. A couple of years, maybe. A year and a half.
What did you do next?
What did I do then?
What did you do next?
Oh, after the...
After
I came back here?
When did you return to Salida?
Yeah, about a year and a half later. I worked downtown there. I could repair radios. I learned it by myself, but I was fixing radios. We had a little music store there my dad did.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the name of the music store?
Yeah, it was called The Salida Music Store.
The Salida Music Store. Where was it located?
134 East 1st Street.
134 East 1st Street. Did your father have other employees?
No, no.
He was the sole owner?
Mm-hmm. He and my mother.
Mm-hmm. And that is where you learned to repair?
Well, I learned the hard way, but later on I was given an education by the federal government before entering the military, and I went to school back in Philadelphia and New York.
When was this, Charlie?
That was later, about 1942 or 43.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went into the military, and then I was sent to Europe. And I stayed in Europe till the end of the war, and then I came back.
What year did you return to Salida?
1946.
1946? So how old were you then, Charlie?
23. And I got married.
Who did you marry?
A girl from Gallup, New Mexico. An Irish girl, and her name was Jean Frances Ward.
Jean Frances Ward. Where did you meet Jean?
Here in Salida.
What was she doing in Salida?
She stopped over. They had just buried her aunt. And if it hadn't been for that death, I never would have met her. I was home on a furlough at the time.
Oh, uh-huh. How soon after you met did you two get married?
Well, I had to go through the war.
Uh-huh.
When I got home from the war, we got married pretty quick.
Did she remain in Salida after her...
No, she went back to Gallup, New Mexico.
She returned to Gallup, so you stayed in touch? You stayed in touch during that time?
Oh, yeah. We wrote letters and all that.
Uh-huh. And were you married in Salida?
No, married in Colorado Springs.
Married in Colorado Springs. Did you have a big formal wedding?
No, just a very quiet little tiny bitty wedding.
Uh-huh. And then you returned, you lived in Salida? You set up house in Salida?
Yes. Yeah, and then I really got into the business down there. We got appliances and radios and a whole bit.
Were you still involved with your father's business?
Yes.
And it was still called?
Yeah, he was too sick to run it, but I ran.
You took it over? Charlie, did you and Jean have any children?
Yes, we had two girls.
What are their names?
One's named Gay, G-A-Y. The other one is named Christy, K-R-S-T-I.
How old are your daughters, Charlie?
Well,
and where
they were
they
born.
Live?
Gay was born in 1948. And Christy was born in 1953. So that makes them 50. One's close to 50, the other is in her 50s now.
Where do your daughters live now?
Gay lives in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And she has one daughter. Christy lives in Los Angeles, California, and she has two children.
Did your daughters go through Salida schools?
Yes, they attended here until they went to college. The oldest one has got a degree in bacteriology and all the scientific things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The youngest one was trained as an interior designer.
Uh-huh. Do they come to visit, Charlie? Do they come to visit?
Yes, they come to visit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Charlie, tell me about, you had a business downtown for how many years?
Well, if I... I had a few things on the side, but for practical purposes, let's just say that it was there. I had it. I was in there for. I kept it going for 54 years.
Did you see a lot of changes in downtown? In the downtown, while you had your business.
Changes.
Changes in downtown.
Oh yeah, it changed gradually, not rapidly. Like it's not like it did now, but it was a very stable, laid back community. All the stores downtown had what you needed. We didn't have a Walmart or anything like that.
What type of businesses operated downtown?
What type of business?
What type of businesses?
Oh, just everything. There were grocery stores and drug stores and bars and tailor shops and you name it. They had it all right downtown.
Did you have any competition, Charlie? Any other stores that
sold? Oh, yes, we had competition.
When did you get into the sale of televisions?
I was right here in the radio business when the TVs... Colorado was late getting television, and, of course, it had to be cabled in from the hills out here because... The FCC didn't learn until too late that television doesn't work in the mountains. So I sold a lot of television sets here.
Charlie, were televisions very expensive? Were the general were families buying televisions, or were these exclusively for the well, better to do people?
Oh no, they weren't that expensive. It cost $150 to hook up to the cable for one channel.
One channel?
One channel.
Where did the channel come from?
Pueblo. Uh-huh. And it was picked up right out here at the edge of town and brought in.
What year are we talking about, Charlie?
That's 1953.
When did you close? When did you close the doors to your business?
1985.
You were around a long time, Charlie.
Yes.
Can you tell me about some of the characters? Some of the people that you came in contact with? Some interesting characters?
Some characters? You mean like the village idiot or something like that?
Well, interesting personalities, some.
Oh, I guess they were all interesting. They were all individuals, so... Don't think there was anything very radical about any of them.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about the railroad?
About what?
About the railroad.
Oh, that, yeah. That was one of the big things here. You see, Salida had the narrow gauge, too. And we had narrow gauge locomotive shops down in the railroad yard where they overhauled the narrow gauge locomotives. And that ran 24 hours a day. So all through the Depression years, Salida had full employment.
Well, that's wonderful.
So we didn't have any soup lines or anything like that. And there was mining around here and stuff like that. At that time, in the 30s, in the height of the Depression, school teachers were paid $100 a month, and that was considered excessive. But they got their $100.
Pretty good wages, I would say.
For then it was. Now, a haircut was 50 cents in a union shop, and 35 cents in a non-union shop.
How many barber shops were there in Salida?
Oh, there was probably three or four or five. There was a lot of them. People had their hair cut in those days. And there were beauty shops. Permanent waves ran anywhere from $3 to $15.
Did you go out of town to shop, or did you do most of your shopping?
Oh, no. No one went out of town much. It was all done right here. Oh, a few people would go to Denver, but there was no massive shopping out of town.
Mm-hmm. What is the earliest type of transportation that you remember?
Oh, we had a brand new Model A Ford in 1929, and we used that for quite a long time. My dad wasn't nuts about cars, so he ran it a long time.
Did very many other people have the...
Almost everybody had a car. But not everybody had a telephone, so we had a telephone here in this house, and quite a lot of the neighbors would come in to borrow, use it, you know. I can even remember the telephone number.
What was your telephone number, John?
392J.
392J. Was it a private line or a...
Yeah, it was a private line. I don't know what the cost was. Maybe $3.
Was that through Mountain Bell?
Monthly, yeah. There's a little story connected with that telephone company that my grandmother had some money from the death of her first husband in Pueblo.
Mm-hmm.
She went back to Iowa to bury the body, and she met this old friend of hers, and they came out back, and they got married. So the reason for Salida was, in a way, he saw some opportunities up here, so he come up here with the family. They lived in that big house on Poncha Boulevard that used to belong to Dr. Larimer.
Is that the big house across the street from
the... I think Bob Nevins lives in it.
Okay.
He used her money to start the telephone company here.
Oh, he did?
Uh-huh. And he lost it because he didn't have a franchise.
Oh.
So in Denver, there was a thing called the Colorado Telephone Company, which later became Mountain Bell. And they came down here after he got the phones all hooked up and told him that if he didn't sell it to them, they were going to put another one in alongside of it. And they had a lot of money. So he sold it to them for 10 cents on the dollar. But the first telephones that were put in here, now he might have had a little help, and I don't really know that much about it. But anyway, the telephone office used to be located down on Lower F Street on the second floor on the east side of the street, over the tailor shops.
Okay.
Then later on it moved up to where it was so many years located on 2nd Street next to Bob Rush's office down there on 2nd Street.
Mm-hmm.
Then they finally built the new building down here on the corner of 5th and F. And we were the last town to have dial telephones.
Oh, you were?
Mm-hmm. Buena Vista had them before we did.
Why was that, Charlie?
I don't know, some political thing. I don't know what the reason was.
Mm-hmm. Did the local telephone company hire a lot of people?
Well, not a lot of people. They had switchboard operators.
Switchboard operators?
There were about six or seven or eight girls there. And they had the linemen and the construction. I have no idea what the total amount of employees were. Well, mm-hmm. It wasn't massive or anything like mm-hmm. that. But a lot of the girls got their first job down there working the switchboard.
Mm-hmm. What else would you like to talk about, Charlie?
Oh, there's millions of things to talk about. That railroad, you probably got a lot of people telling you about railroads. The main drag, the main line that came through on the wide gauge, there were two trains. There were four trains a day. Passenger trains. No, not freights. Passengers. I don't know how many freight trains. There were two in the day and two in the night. And, of course, that track is still there. It goes down to Canyon City, into Colorado Springs, Pueblo, and on to Denver. And then it ends up in Salt Lake out here, you know, or it did. When it was called the DNRG, Denver and Rio Grande Western Railroad. Uh-huh. It had a nickname. They called it the DNRG. It stood for Dirty, Raggy, and Greasy. The narrow gauge locomotives were, like I said, overhauled down here, and they ran from here over Marshall Pass to Gunnison. And I think it ended up over there someplace. It ran right up until the very end. It had the track had another purpose. It served the quarry, the CF&I limestone quarry up here at Monarch. So they brought all the limestone to the steel mills in Pueblo down the track and to Pueblo. But they had an interesting gizmo down here, a thing. It turned it was called a barrel transfer. And it took the narrow gauge car and turned it upside down and dumped all the limestone into the wide gauge cars, which went on to Pueblo, you mm-hmm. see. So that contraption was one of a very, very few in the whole world. And then after they dumped the car, they'd roll this thing back over and put the car stayed on the track, and then they took it down the line. Mm-hmm. But riding that narrow gauge railroad was quite a thing, because it had a wood stove in each end of the car, and there was